Tim, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder, and we're joined in studio by our friend Patrick McDonald. Patrick is the fine film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com, also the chief guide for ChicagoFilmTour.com. If you've not availed yourself of the opportunity to see Patrick's tour, you need to. It's all the greatest sites and locations that movies have been filmed in and around Chicago, and you do a great job with that. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you. I know. Thank you very much.
What's the cutoff for saying that?
Well, I think the first time you see someone after the change of the year, you can cut it off after that.
Yeah, you're fine.
So we're done now.
I thought the end of January, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Really quickly, Wendy and I, yesterday, as the news broke about Mary Tyler Moore, we talked about her. And again, this morning, her name certainly came up. Aside from her work on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and on the Dick Van Dyke Show, you have to admit, she made some pretty good movies, especially Ordinary People.
Well, the interesting about her thing about her film career is that she made both notorious cult movies and you know, Ordinary People, which is the Academy Award nominated film that she was in.
What a goodie.
But you want to talk about change of habit with Elvis Presley. Come on.
Mentioned it yesterday.
Yes.
One of the most ridiculous movies of all time. Honest. It's awful.
And what a pairing. Elvis and Laura Petrie. Moore.
Yeah. Did it work at all?
No, it's horrendous.
Well, I think it works as something that's so bad it's good. Elvis plays a doctor in it.
Mary Tyler Moore is a nun, and Elvis at some point is trying to decide between her and now, how does this work? Is she deciding?
She's deciding
between God and the doctor.
God and the king.
Right. Wow. And doesn't she?
It's a tough decision, man.
Yeah, baby.
Isn't there some scene where she keeps looking at him and then looking at the crucifix and looking at him and looking at a crucifix?
That's funny.
It's ridiculous.
Is it supposed to be funny?
No.
Yeah.
No.
All right, now I have to see it. What's it called?
Change of Habit.
All right.
Yeah, it's
and,
really awful.
There's an oddball, and I'm sure you've seen it, Bill. What's so bad about feeling good?
Talked about that with George Lepard.
Oh, it was a 3:30 after school movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's right up there with Cold Turkey, you know. It's those two satires of the American dream back then.
Yeah.
But, you know, that would be right for a remake, I think.
I'm surprised they haven't.
You know, with our contentious society now, it would be very interesting to remake that
I want to throw one more in. It's a made-for-TV movie, but it really showed that Mary Tyler Moore was more than just a comedic actress. It's a movie called First You Cry about Betty Rollins, who it's her struggle with cancer. And I think that was the first time people realized she could be a very, very strong, serious actress if she wanted to be.
And also, I'll note her PBS pairing with Dick Van Dyke on The Gin Game.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yes, where they swear like sailors in it.
She really was a well-rounded woman. Seriously. I mean, she did work clean. A listener called earlier. But think back in the day, the Dick Van Dyke Show was very clean. Mm-hmm. And even Mary Tyler Moore, I don't know, she pushed the envelope a little bit. Mm-hmm. But she was so well-rounded. Just so funny. Such a great actress in drama. I mean, really, such a wonderful woman.
And she starred as a dancer. Which is pretty amazing, you know, and at 17 years old was a major commercial player for Hot Point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a career.
Yeah.
What a career.
She'll be missed. Mary Tyler Moore, no question about it. All right. This is an awful story. Casey Affleck, who I guess some people will know as the younger brother, as Ben Affleck. And
he'll always be known as that.
I guess he will. but I have to say, He himself has also done some good work, including this movie, Manchester by the Sea, which really, as sad of a movie as it is, and it is, it's tragically sad. It's a really thought-provoking, well-made movie. Well, he's being criticized by a lot of people, most notably an actress named Constance Wu, who people will know as one of the stars of Fresh Off the Boat, for some things that Casey was involved in a couple of years ago that are awful.
Well, I think this is one of the strangest show business stories that has ever come up in, let's say, the last 20 years. It had to do with that fake documentary that Joaquin Phoenix and Casey Affleck worked on called I'm Not There.
Yeah.
If anybody recalls, it was about Joaquin Phoenix quitting acting, growing a big bushy beard, and becoming a rap star, I believe. And then Casey Affleck was the director of this film that followed him through that process.
And for people who don't know, here's a little bit of background on this. Casey Affleck is married to Joaquin Phoenix's sister, Summer. So they got to know each other through family reasons,
mm-hmm.
and then decided to make this mockumentary, not even a real documentary.
Right. It's a fine line. It's a fine line. But anyway, what's odd about this is that it seems they set this up so they could hire women to, you know, to be with them.
Yeah.
And essentially, I mean, it seemed like everybody that was on that set who was a woman had some problems with the way they were treated.
Right.
And it goes beyond just making remarks. It's also in the realm of, I would say, unquestionably breaking somebody's territory or their space. So not only was that weird failure of a mockumentary done, but it was done, and in the background there was some really harsh things going on.
Two women sued Casey Affleck for sexual harassment. Both those cases were settled out of court,
yes.
And Constance Wu, the actress from Fresh Off the Boat, has sent out a series of tweets saying this is a despicable thing that Hollywood is doing and glorifying this guy who has harassed women and has settled out of court. And if we don't put a stop to this, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
You know, our president just settled out of court for his university. I mean, how do we separate this stuff? You know, we've got the Woody Allen case. We have the Casey Affleck case. Bill Cosby.
Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, if we appreciate the art, we appreciate the art for what it is. And if we don't appreciate the person and we can't disassociate it, then you have to make your own decision about that. Not that this is bad, but I think that Constance Wu tweeting about this tweeting stuff and Twitter itself. You know, when you write something down, you might as well tattoo it on your forehead. You know, in the future, lawyers will push one button and everything will spew out, no matter what case you have, no matter what you're sued for. If you're in a divorce case, suddenly all your social media stuff is going to be in their hand.
Yeah.
And it's going to condemn you because everybody writes down stupid stuff.
She says, Constance Wu says, I have been counseled to not talk about this for my career's sake.
Interesting.
Blank my career, then. I'm a woman and a human first. That's what my craft is built on. It's uncomfortable in many different reasons. Number one,
yes.
if you're the average filmgoer or television viewer,
yes,
it's sometimes hard to separate the actor from the craft or director in some cases. But at the same time, I mean, I find myself, there are certain people who I know about things that they have done or alleged to have done. And it does temper my decision sometimes. Do I want to spend money? Mel Gibson is a great example of this. I heard great things about Heartbreak Ridge. And then I think to myself, do I want to plunk down $14 to Mel Gibson to see a movie that he worked on when I know that in the past he's been a horrible human being?
I'm not defending Casey Affleck on this. I read about the case and it was bad. I mean, between both him and Joaquin Phoenix really need to look inside themselves. They were not young men then.
Right.
It's not like you can say, oh, a 22-year-old hormonal guy. No, these were known individuals who had to know the consequences of behaving like this, but they certainly didn't follow through on it.
Scott has a question, and I kind of do too, and I have to be honest with you, till this was brought up by the Fresh Off the Boat actress, I wasn't aware of it. Mm-hmm. Scott, you have a question and a good one.
Yes, I have a question. First and foremost, I'd like to say whatever they did, if they did, is despicable. But if these women settle out of court, aren't they essentially saying, I'm giving up my right to pursue this in a court? And, I mean, who made them settle out of court?
So and why did they? That's a great question.
Because a lot of money was offered to them.
Okay, so if money is offered, you're taking one moral, which is sexual assault or whatever he did to a woman, and now you're trading that moral for money? So how do these women justify saying he's wrong while they're essentially saying my morals are going to be low because I want money over justice? That doesn't make sense.
It's a good question.
I need the wisdom of Solomon for this. It's possible they don't want that dirty laundry aired. And if I can get a settlement, basically, they were contract players. They were on this movie to give their services $4, and they found that this was happening to them. So they, you know, did sue for harassment, and they went to the table and said, listen, what do you need here? Well, maybe we need to be paid extra for our services.
And then this goes away.
We had to go through this, now, and we don't have to air this dirty laundry.
But look, it's out.
So if they don't want to air the dirty laundry, why is she tweeting about it?
No. That's
Constance Wu.
Someone from an actress from a show called Fresh Off the Boat.
Okay, I have another question for you. It's directed towards your audience. Doesn't anybody have an older brother anymore where if somebody harasses their little sister, somebody's going to get whooped? I know it's not right, but why do these people put themselves in? If I'm at work and I'm getting harassed, I'm going to make a statement that day and possibly not go to work the next day. If you're on a movie set being harassed, doesn't anybody say, you know what, I'm not going back.
Right.
I'm going to tell somebody about immediately, not this, you know, we're going to wait a couple of months, we're going to wait whatever. Why don't people do things immediately?
I think some people do and some people don't, and that's really up to the individual, but it's a good question.
Well, I also think it's difficult for men to speak to this. I want to put that out there right now, because I think if men had to go through what women go through, even on a daily basis, there would be a different kind of attitude out there. There's not enough empathy.
And I want to just quickly tag this on. We have to take a quick break, but there was a movie that came out earlier this year called Birth of a Nation that everybody was talking about as an odds-on favorite to either win the Academy Award or get a whole bunch of nominations. And Nate Parker is the guy behind this movie who wrote and directed it, and he had kind of similar allegations against him, and it kind of sunk him and the movie, don't you think?
Well, that's difficult to say. I saw the film before I heard of the allegations, and I was surprised that it was so overpraised out of Sundance. Yeah. I think it came off of the hashtag Oscars So White problem, and suddenly we had this film that was, you know, projecting this image of African Americans in a time in history, and I think in Sundance was just swept up in it. Mm-hmm. You know, 6 months go by, it's released in the regular theaters, and suddenly you're saying, well, this is a good movie, but it's not that inspirational greatness that we thought we would see. At least mm-hmm. this was in my
point. You don't think it had anything to do with his extracurricular activities at all? The fact that everybody kind of went south on it?
There's a lot of permutations about this story. In fact, Oprah Winfrey had volunteered to him to allow him to air what happened and kind of make a national forgiveness, and he refused to do it. Now, the case was dropped against him,
yeah.
But I think it was settled for his friend, if I'm correct, and I hope I am. So obviously he wanted to keep this under the carpet, and,
sure.
and in that sense, it started a backlash.
Scott, thank you for your call.
All right, how about a break, a quick break, and then more with Patrick McDonald of HollywoodChicago.com. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We are talking to a film critic for HollywoodChicago.com, chief guide for the Chicago Film Tour, a friend of the show. His name is Patrick McDonald.
Also apparently a social scientist today.
Yes, social scientist Patrick McDonald, Hollywood social scientist, Chicago.com.
I have a question. I was quizzed by my kids and husband, hey, do you know the new title of the new Star Wars movie? And I said, no. And why was there such hoopla involving this?
The Last Jedi. Yeah.
Why was it kept a secret for a while?
Well, you know, they drip out the information about these films when they see they need a headline.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the slack period in January and February is a good time to say, hey, here's the title. And, you know, it's somebody said it's alternative facts, The Last Jedi.
Do we know who The Last Jedi refers to? Do we know exactly which cast member it is?
Well, that's the speculation right now. They're pointing towards Daisy Ridley as that.
It'd
be interesting because it's a quasi religious power.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see how that would die off.
Yeah.
So I think that's the mystery.
So The Last Jedi, and Carrie Fisher has filmed her role for that particular one, correct?
Yes, that is correct. And I don't know if they will be doing some adjustments to bring that role to a completion or not.
But with Peter Cushing, who has...
He's been gone a while.
Got to be honest with you. When I saw that, I just go, oh, Tarkin's back. I didn't realize that he was no longer with us. Wouldn't they maybe be able to keep the storyline for the third movie and just use the...
It's possible that they would use that. But the early reports are they are not going to do that. They're not going to manufacture the character again to it could be to tie up some of the storylines, but I don't think they're going to use it going forward like they did with Peter Cushing. So,
Wendy and I discussed this. To me, it was a little distracting. I knew that Peter Cushing had died, and yet there he was in a bunch of scenes in the last Star Wars movie.
I had no idea.
It was very... I wish it was more fluid, but to me, it was very alarming that it was... I mean, and there are other CGI characters all throughout the movie, but just knowing it wasn't really him was very disturbing to me.
You're a realist.
I guess. I guess I am.
Jimmy Mack should type out a prep sheet for you.
I don't really want it. And, you know, when I ask him, he'd still be talking, so I want to ask someone else once in a while to get their take on the Star Wars universe.
Patrick, how about this? We've got 13 seconds left. Tell us everything we need to see and not see over the weekend.
Okay, the Matthew McConaughey film, Gold, 3 out of 5. He acts so hard, he turns inside out. It's Treasure of Sierra Madre meets Wall Street. Tony Erdmann, 5 out of 5, a perfect score from me. It's a Romanian film. It will make you love life again.
Wow. Let's all go see it.
Wendy only sees Romanian films, by the way. Did you know that about her? Won't see anything made in America, only Romanian movies. The Nadia Comăneci movie was good, you said?
I loved it. Yeah.
I'll give you a cheat sheet
on
that
one.
Give
it a 10.0.
And finally, The Salesman from Asghar Farhadi out of Iran, 4 out of 5. It's about two Iranian couple doing Death of a Salesman in Iran, and some incident happens to them that counterplays that play.
That sounds interesting.
It's
sounds
very interesting.
That's Patrick McDonald, film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com, and yes, also a social scientist when he needs to be, chief guide for ChicagoFilmTour.com. Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Bill and Wendy, Firehouse Subs lunch break. It's time for that right now. You can win a Firehouse Subs gift card. Be caller number 7, lucky 7, 312-981-7200. If you don't win the Firehouse Subs gift card, you can go to a Firehouse Subs, ask for the Bill and Wendy special. You'll get the make-your-own sub, build a medium sub with one of your favorite meats, either turkey ham or roast beef, and then you can put your own stuff on it, lettuce, tomato, mayo, mustard, pickle spear on the side, of course. The make-your-own sub Bill and Wendy special is only $4.99, but you have to ask for it. Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. And congratulations to Joe from Lakemore.
He is our winner. Congratulations, Joe. More chances tomorrow and the rest of the week and then next week and beyond. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.